Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode was recorded as part of the Unmute Live Podcast Festival all the way back in October, but we're putting it out now because restaurants are tentatively open again. So here is our live episode with the wonderful Ed Gamble.
Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic,
the live version.
I'm on my bed and Tessa, you're buying some flowers?
Oh yes, I'm decorating the just making the area look nice. I'm off the edge of my bed, squatting. Excellent. Off the edge of the bed. Glamorous locations.
Today we are talking about how to be the perfect diner in a restaurant with Ed Gamble.
Let's get this show on the road. Let's bring him out. Here he is.
Hey.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
He's already here.
I'm here already.
Ed Gamble.
Room for me, guys.
Room for a small one.
I was faded in so dramatically.
Hello, Ed Gamble. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, all right. You've got a fancy old setup there. You look like an old-fashioned sports commentator.
Yes, that's very much the vibe I'm going for. I'm looking to corner sports in the past, finally.
At the beginning of every podcast episode, we like to ask each other the most adult or adult thing they've done this week. Edmund Gamble, what's the most adult thing you have done this week, or adult thing, x-rated thing you've done this week?
I'll stick with the sort of PG thing that I've been up to this week. I mean, we briefly, just a quick peek behind the scenes, we did a technical run through of this show. We just checked everything was working, and everyone seemed to be amazed that I was drinking out of a massive water jug. There
that's
it is.
The size of
it's,
me.
Yeah, it's 2 liters. I'm trying to get through two of these a day, which feels adult. I'm trying to stay hydrated, but also I think it might be indicative of the fact I don't have a lot on.
Understood.
So I think I'm just, as long as I stay hydrated, I feel like I've achieved something in my day.
That's a massive, huge achievement. Also, that thing looks like an office water cooler. Like, that's absolutely huge.
Yeah, well, just me and the other people who work here gather around it and we chat about what we've been up to and what we've seen on TV.
But no one else drinks it other than you.
Yeah, no, it's just me, and I can't stress this enough. No one else works here.
Well done. It's impressive.
Tip my lemon gin and tonic to you. Tessa, what's your adult thing this week?
Oh, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you about what I'm drinking, which is this car fruit punch. One of these
bad boys.
I'm drinking a whole car. And I put it in this fancy glass. And let me tell you, I'm absolutely loving it. 40 pence from your local realtor. Retail outlet.
Just go to your local real estate vendor and just ask for a glass, and I'll give you one, and then they'll give you a glass. What is the adult thing that you've done this week, Tessa? Come on, give it to me.
Oh God, mine is put a bra on.
Yes,
put a bra on, and I've honestly, I put it on, and I was like, wow, these are high, like. I was like, and I used to wear this every day, did I? And it was up here. And I kept being like, I could put my chin on them. They're so high up. I basically not had a bra on all lockdown. And it was like putting on like an 18th century corset. I was like, I don't think this will survive. But it felt very grown up. I was like, all right, I'm committing. I'm putting this bra on. I'm going out for the day. Look, I've got dressed, you know? So it felt pretty
very
grown
good.
Up.
That feels too high.
The bar,
or
the bosoms.
Yeah, you were sort of saying they were here, and You know, look.
Yeah, or
I'm not here to explain bras to
can you not?
But that feels high, doesn't it?
Honestly, they've been about to my navel most lockdown, and now they're like, honestly, I just was taken aback at how high they were. And I would say, yeah, I could have put my chin on there.
You can balance a cereal bowl and just enjoy some Honey Nut Cheerios.
Lap away at the cereal bowl like a dog. Lovely.
Yeah, that's the new normal. Okay, and that's what we can all.
Brilliant.
Oh God, what's yours?
My adult thing is it's not really an adult thing because I did get scammed.
Oh God!
I went on a popular secondhand clothing and apparently electricals app, Depop. Thought I'd like some AirPods, but I don't want to pay the amount that is happening for them. Turns out, if somebody is selling AirPods for £40 and then tells you, "Can you please take the buyer protection off because I need money now," and you do that, it's a scam. And what was so sad about it was that when I did it, I knew it was a scam, but I thought maybe they do need the money. And sometimes, Stevie, you've got to put a little bit of trust out there, otherwise you don't get anything back. And then they just took the money from me. Yeah. But I think the adult thing was I dealt with it very well. I was like, and then rather than cry, I thought, I hope that they did scam me for the reasons that they gave, which was that they needed the money.
Can I see your scam story and raise you a scam story?
Of course.
It's actually a hustle. So many years ago, I was walking along London's South Bank and I saw a hustle. So I had seen it, this thing they were doing, on the TV show, The Real Hustle. And you put balls under cups. Like, one man is putting balls under cups and you say, like, find the ball. And then a crowd gathers and you're like, oh, it's there, obviously, under the middle ball. And someone, like, puts, you double your money. So you give £10, £20 and they give you back double if you guess where the ball is. And then, but then two of the people in the crowd are also part of the scam, so that when you're just watching as a pundit, you're like, oh yeah, okay, well, this guy keeps winning. Like, oh my God, I can do it as well. So I saw this happening at a distance and I was alone. I was like, guys, there's a hustle. This is a hustle. And I went on, I was like, I was like whispering to people in the thing, being like, this is a hustle. And then I just watched it for so long that I was like, I think I know where the ball is. I got hustled.
And you knew it was a hustle?
I knew it was a hustle. I paid it. I did it. I gave my money in and the ball wasn't there. I got hustled.
That's and I just, the confidence of that, of being like, it's a hustle, but I'm going to out-hustle the hustler now, that's really impressive.
Oh yeah. And it's like, I see your game, but I think I can get you.
That's so funny.
I've thought about it for years because honestly, I remember walking away just like feeling like the electric buzz of being hustled. Just my brain was like, you're an imbecile. I can't believe it happened to me. Anyway, and then last year, walking along Westminster Bridge, I saw it again and I was like, okay, don't go anywhere near it, obviously. But I saw this old guy was like watching for ages and then he went to like open his wallet and I was like, oh my God, no, I'm going to go get that old man and make sure he doesn't get involved in this hustle. And I was like about to go up and be like, no, sir. And then as I got to him, he opens his little old wallet like that, pulls out his police badge. It was the police.
It was the popo.
The hustler got a hustle.
Effing po.
That's such a good cyclical story.
What a circular tale.
And then the policeman got hustled, right?
And then he in turn was also part of the hustle and round the hustle.
And somehow you gave £20.
Just heisting the heist.
And you ended up in jail and with no money.
I was like, I just gave out £20. Anyway, then I took the guy for dinner and I said to him, what makes a perfect diner? And lo. Listen, how to be well behaved in restaurants, how to be a good egg. We've got Ed Gamble, of course, from Hit, critically disclaimed yet and quite poor. Disclaimed and poor podcast. Bad.
How would you critically disclaim a podcast? You'd just be like, it doesn't exist. It's not a podcast.
I would critically disclaim you by repeatedly trashing you in the press. That's what I would do.
I'd love that. I'd love a bit of beef.
Imagine if we just started a terrible rivalry that in years to come they made documentaries about, and it was called, well, Podcast Wars is not very good, isn't it? Let me think of it and I'll dwell on what our documentary is about. Of course not. It's a good podcast. It's good. It's much loved. People shouted, have a poppadom, you wanker, or something while you ran the marathon. Is that right?
Yes, that's the catchphrase. Have a poppadom, you wanker. We say it to every guest we have. It's some of the guests we don't actually know very well, so it's a bit much when we have people on who we don't know. Is to have a poppadom, you wanker.
What did they say to you when you ran the marathon?
Poppadoms or bread is the catchphrase, which is it's shouted aggressively by James Acaster, but now I've heard the alternative of have a poppadom, you wanker. Poppadoms or bread sounds positively polite.
I'm so sorry. I really got in my head that people like quite meanly like trolled you as you ran the marathon. I'm so sorry. I think it was
quite friendly. It was supposed to be supportive and hey, I know your podcast and I enjoy your podcast. No one in your head were they throwing poppadoms at me as well?
Yeah. That's honestly what I thought. I mean, I thought it was in good humour. I thought they were... Sure. I didn't think they disliked you. I thought they were like, they just knew. But you at like 20 miles were like, this is not... I haven't got any badinage. Please don't do my...
I don't want a poppadom. I feel sick. Stop calling me a wanker.
That's honestly what I thought. So, sorry. Anyway, the podcast... I haven't even said it. The podcast is called Off Menu.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't be allowed to be in charge of the intros.
I was going to say very quickly that the reason we've got Ed on to talk about food and restaurants is that they have... every guest, they have like a fantasy diner, their fantasy meals. So
yes,
the guest will discuss basically anything that you can imagine about food opinions.
Yeah, we do have a poppadom, you wanker. We do still or sparkling, you twat.
Sparkling is insane to me. I wouldn't have sparkling if you paid me. You think it's lemonade? It's a dreadful drink.
So you again, you get hustled every time, do you?
What? So,
even though you're holding it going, I know it's not lemonade. I know it's not lemonade. It might be lemonade.
Good Lord. And lo, what makes a perfect diner?
For the podcast, we were saying, you know, I was like, I can bring my, I used to be a waitress for many years. And Tessa said, and I will list all of the things that I demand. I was like, this is going to be really great.
No, I'd like to say, excuse me, I have 10 years of catering under my belt. And sometimes in public restaurants, I panic when someone shouts service and I think I have to get the meal.
I know.
Listen, don't think I haven't done my time in the kitchen.
I 100%, I've seen you do your time.
You've seen me get up in restaurants to serve meals when we have gone out for dinner.
Absolutely. And I don't think that's a good way of being a perfect diner. I don't think you should ever get up and start trying to help. I think that's, if anything, the worst thing you can do. There's an amazing Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry can see his food on the pass and it's not being brought over to him. So he just gets up and gets it himself. And it must be the most infuriating thing if you're working in a restaurant, if a diner decides, I'll just go and help out. Can I carry that for you? Can I do that? Just getting in the way.
It's both patronising and also very upset. There's like a, even if it doesn't look like it, there is a system. So when the diner takes the food off the pass, then the waiter looks at the pass and goes, I guess the chef has taken it away. So then just nothing will ever happen. You'll never get, like, then you'll get another meal. No one will ask you for salt and pepper if you want it, or parmesan cheese if you've got an Italian dish. But should we go through the process chronologically, as it were? So, like, when from you door? Arrive at the restaurant...
I'm on the charm offensive from minute one in a restaurant because my nightmare is anyone thinking that I'm not a good person. So I'm straight through the door, and if anything, I'm probably too much. I'm basically arriving like it's my friend's house, and I'm so great. I'm so grateful to be there. Thank you so much. Oh, would you like this table here? Yes, please. Sit me on the floor. Feed me like a dog. I don't care. Thank you so much for everything.
When you get shown to your table, I'm very much like, I've got a table. Thank you so much. Whereas the person I'm with will pretty much 9 times out of 10 be like, sorry, can we go over by the window? And that's not necessarily rude. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. Because you also should ask for what you want. However, I curl up and die inside and I'm like, I'll sit in the bin and then you can feed me litter. Tessa.
Okay, yeah. So I just, I'm the person who would like to move table.
Yes, I know.
Yes, it's me. Food makes or breaks my day. So if this meal, if I'm in the wrong corner and there's a good table, I'll just spend my whole meal. I'll just be like, forget it. Well, I might as well go home, you know? I'm so miserable that I'm in the...
It's the way in which you say it, so I guess you can... Yeah, there's... I suppose then...
Oh, my God. I'm also on the charm offensive. Listen, I'm also want to be everybody's favourite. I want everyone to... I'm trying to make everybody laugh. I want everybody to think I'm a great gal. But I also really want that table in the by the window, you know?
Yes.
And I also... I gauge whether my dining companion will die if I ask, or if they're somebody who...
Oh,
if we
good.
Move, that will be fine. So
Tessa,
I would never.
If we ever go to a restaurant, please don't ask to move.
Don't
tables.
Say a fucking word. No,
fills me with
no
dread.
Way.
I will. I'd rather you ask to move tables,
yep.
And they, as a punishment, sit us next to the toilet. I don't think.
I thought you were going to say ask
it.
To move tables, and I move, but you remain.
Yeah, you know? You go away. I don't want to cause any trouble whatsoever. So I want to sit there eating my meal, even if I'm by the toilet, even if I'm in an alley out the back. I want to sit there, I want to eat my meal and think, I bet they're all in the kitchen now talking about what a nice guy I am.
Well, also as well, from the waitress perspective, you get obviously areas, and often when there's a busy time, you have to seat somebody in a particular area because that person, that waiter, doesn't have anyone, for example, that they're looking after, whereas you have 17,000. And then what happens is the person goes, sorry, can I sit there? And you're like, brilliant. Yes, I'll also serve you as well as 15 other people. So there's often a reason that you don't realise as to why you... And, but also I was going to say, what do you guys feel about the kind of new... It's not new. It's not like I'm 90 years old. But the idea of, you know, like Wagamama or... Basaba Eat Thai, where you sit with people, like there's not separate tables, because I've seen people being like, sorry, can I not? It's like, well, no, that's the vibe of the restaurant. You're gonna have to sit on a table with other people. What do you guys feel about that?
It never really feels like you're sitting on a table with them though, does it? Like they're just like bench seats is what they mean, and I'm kind of fine with that. I mean, we'll get to Wagamama, I'm sure, but I've never been on board with the food comes out when it's ready. It's like, well, prepare it all at different times then.
Don't.
Okay, even. Okay, so here we are at polar opposites, because if they say food comes out when it's ready, I say, wonderful, marvellous, thank you, bring it as you wish, hours apart if you must, you know? And I wouldn't mind what at all. But
so do I. I don't tell them to F off, but like...
Sounds like Ed does.
No.
Well, no, I don't tell them to F off. Yeah, privately I do, but privately. But even the phrase the food comes out when it's ready. I want to go, okay, well, can you time it so it's all
Could
ready at
not?
The same time we can
yes!
eat together?
That's what a
How
restaurant
hard can
is.
It? Yeah.
That's what the dining out experience is. Otherwise, I would just eat at home and make those things. I have come out because the whole point of it is that you bring me my meal with my friend's meal and we have a meal. But it's a new thing of like, oh, yeah, also, can you get your own cutlery as well? And you have to get your own sauces, and you also have to get all your stuff. And also the food comes out whenever. And you're like, I could have got a takeaway.
Where does it end as well? It's like the food comes out when it's ready. We did a big batch this morning about 8 hours ago. It's freezing, by the way. But it does come out when it's ready. You just weren't here. It's like, well, no, I've
so
come out
when
I'm
ready.
Can you
pop it in the microwave? Can you just come into the kitchen and pop it in the microwave before you want to eat it?
Yeah, the other one is, have you guys been here before? And then we recommend sort of four to, when the plates are like £16 each, being like, we recommend like 4 to 5 small plates per person. And so I think if that's your recommendation, I just wish they had no menus and they just brought many bits to the table, you know, to be like, this is what we suggest. Here are your many bits, rather than you having to be like, here are my complimentary tiny small plates that you recommend in a big, you know.
Do you find that when they say, have you been here before, whenever they say, have you been here before, I've like almost feel defensive about the question. And I was like, yeah, even when I haven't. And then I don't know the process. And then I can't get my food.
I always say, see, again, here I am. See, I fucked it. I must say that I am very well behaved about the asking for tables. I've got really quick eyes and I identify it before. I wouldn't let us sit down and then say this was wrong. I would say I would say, is there any chance we could have that table by the window? And look, aren't I adorable? And then when they say, have you been here before? I say, yes, but do give us your spiel. Do tell us if you wish. And then you did ever so well. Basically, I become a sort of 80-year-old woman I'm seeing now as I.
Yes, so like you're like training them as well. Like, oh, you did so well. That was a great spiel. And as a waiter, I can say they fucking love that. They love it. Being marked. So when you're ordering, things like that. Like, what are things that you would avoid that you would make sure that you're doing? Like, what are things that annoy you about, we're going through the whole process here, the ordering thing. Is it fine to be like, what would you order, to turn it back on the waiter?
I like that. I like eating out in America, where that's like a normal thing. That's a normal thing to do in the States. It's like, what do you recommend? Because they've all been, most of them have been trained and they know the menu and they've eaten the menu. They've been trained to have a recommendation for people. And I just like that. It feels like a bit of pageantry. What's the restaurant known for? I want to know the signature dish. I want to know all of that.
Absolutely.
What should I not be missing?
Exactly. I agree.
And I think we have, the States have such a fantastic attitude to service, that it is a skill and it's an experience, and here's your tap water as soon as you sit down, how's everyone's day, and here are the things, and what can I recommend, and you have to know the menu as soon as you come in, you have to know your specials off by heart, all of this. Whereas in Britain, you know, we're so just like, here it is, like, here's your peas. Years ago in Canada, in a truck stop on the side of the highway, in like the depth of winter, in this, like, it's the Husky stop, it's like a tiny, tiny truck stop, and a lady, we stopped there for some food, and I said, what do you recommend? And this lady was like, honey, I'm going to bring you the pierogies and the soup. And then she like went off and made me this meal. And I was like, and it was the most delicious meal I've ever eaten. And a woman to just be like, I'm not even going to let you look at the menu. This is what you need. This is what we do best. Here they come for you. And I was just like, yes, thank you. Yeah. I think about her all the time.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I find it very difficult when people take so long to decide. It's like they've never been to a restaurant. They can't cope with a map. But that is possibly because I'm vegan, so I've only ever got one option. So I'm always like, mushroom risotto or the eggless egg, please.
But it's don't start the ordering interaction until you're ready to order. Don't, like, and I've been in that situation before. They come over and then you don't want to send people away again, and then but then you panic order. That's all you can do. Don't hang around. Don't do it like there's someone standing there still. I don't understand that thing of going like, I'm stuck between three things. Actually, it's like there's a human being standing there who has other stuff to do. Just pick one of the things.
Oh God, yes.
I can't decide which peas you want.
How many peas, you know?
I didn't pick this podcast topic, and I can see now it's a real character assassination. You guys basically just wanted to pick all the things I do in a restaurant. That's bad.
No. But this is what we actually talked about it in the assertiveness episode, which was really interesting about how it doesn't necessarily is a bad thing, but like we use restaurants in that as a thing of, oh, actually that's an example of struggling with assertiveness. And also this is the same thing, because it's like you have food envy and you're so worried about not getting the right
thing. Getting it
wrong. Yeah, it's as if, and I've been in many restaurants with you, and it's often like you are going to die the moment you've eaten it, and this is the last meal you'll ever have.
So yes, yes, yes. Well, I might, Stevie.
Do you read in advance? Do you go on the website, the restaurant website, and do you read the menu in advance?
This is new to me. I did not know people did this. I didn't know if it was even possible. And I've discovered it in the last year, and it's been an absolute game changer. It's taken all that pressure off of me. I arrive now being like, okay, I've had a chance to study. It's not an actual panic when they bring the paper. It feels like an exam when they hand the menu over and then you turn your papers over and then I like turn it over and I'm like, go, quick, what am I, you know?
Asking for extra paper for some reason. Now, before I launch into my next, I was going to launch into another diatribe against a certain thing that I don't like in the way people order, but I want to check that you don't do it first, Tessa.
Listen, say it and it's going to be me.
Do you try and change the dishes? Are you a dish changer?
I feel this is like an episode of intervention where you've got me on this podcast thinking we're going to have a nice time and actually...
Are you a dish changer?
Yes. Yes. Can I have the full cooked breakfast but with the toast and the egg, and can I swap my avocado for bacon? Yep. Yes, that's me.
Okay, it's a full English breakfast is the only time when that's allowed.
That is fine.
That's fine. But any other way of doing
Why is that your rule?
Because it's multiple components.
Okay.
It's lots of things, yeah. Whereas when it's like, oh, can I have Thai red curry, but with the green curry vegetables in it, and instead of rice, can I have potatoes, and also can I have no curry paste, can I actually have a piece of toast?
That sounds delicious. Yes, please, can I have that?
Right, okay, yes.
Oh, God, you guys. I'm the worst guy.
It's not the worst.
I think it's just like, it's so special to me to go out, and I just want it to be nice. I think it's like... And I just,
this is very funny. I didn't foresee this happening genuinely at all.
Oh,
well, Tessa, what things frustrate you about? So maybe it's not just me and Ed just saying your personality. What things frustrate you about, or what things would you perceive as being negative in a restaurant?
So my thing is not, if I was dining with somebody, and this is a very sweeping gender statement, that like men often would just like look, you know, my test paper anxiety, and they just look at their test and they say like, and then they throw it down and it's really like, it's done, I've picked. So then I'm like, and then the waiter comes over and to me, I'm like, no, of course not. But they're like, yeah, are we ready? And then I'm like, yes, okay, this one, you know. So I think it's that, I just want the going out to be a whole experience, you know, the whole thing, and the chatting and the looking at stuff. It's not just about like getting the food. Like, I think it's like, so, you know, just getting too hungry and then being like, we're here to eat. Be like, we're not here to eat. We're here to do all the stuff, you know.
It's theatre.
Maybe it's theatre, but maybe that's the, maybe I'm bad. Maybe I'm wrong again.
No, I agree. You've got to discuss the menu, right? It's, you know, work out what you're going to have. What sides are you going to have with that? Are you going to split two things? Are you going to have a dessert after maybe? Do you want to say?
Yeah,
all of
yeah.
that discussion is valid. My only issue is when they come along and say, what do you want? And you're like, I want this, but can you sub out this and put this in and change this? And how spicy is it? Actually, I don't want that at all. I want an egg.
Okay, right. Okay, this is a turning point in my life. When I write my memoirs, I'll discuss this moment, which is me never, ever doing that in a restaurant ever, ever again. I'll enter, I'll choose the third thing down, I'll point at it, I won't even look, and I'll eat that. And every time I'll think to Ed Gamble, and I'll just like that.
Yeah, good. Good, actually.
No, I'd hate that.
That's it. I'll never enjoy a meal again. And
oh,
end.
My God.
That's the end.
Shit. Okay.
I absolutely love it.
I think
I promise.
I think you are allowed one sub. You are also celiac. Mm.
There you go. Why haven't you pulled the celiac card out, Tessa? Come on.
Well, you didn't pull diabetes, so we didn't. I thought we weren't. You know, I thought it wasn't all holds barred. You know, you must have so many issues that you and you. If you cannot sub, then how dare I sub? You know.
Yeah, but it's a different thing though. Like, there's not one foodstuff that is in there. It's gonna make me. I don't know what happens to you. Puff up and go blue. But I'm not gonna puff up and go blue if I have a certain thing. I just need to judge what I order. Yeah.
But do you ever say beforehand, like, can I have the fish curry with extra jelly babies? You know.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
But you can eat sugar as a diabetic. That's like a myth.
Yeah.
You can eat whatever you like as long as you put in the stuff beforehand. Then you're fine, and you can even pop it in after if you.
And there's not
going to
be like a secret invisible thing that makes me feel ill. Whereas I guess if you're celiac, you need to make sure that,
yeah,
you know, there's not wheat in it or whatever. Yeah. So that's fine to ask those questions and certainly do some subbing there. I really feel like we've destroyed your spirit, Tessa, and that was not my effort. It is hilarious.
Okay, let's get back to the experience of the dining thing. So we've dealt with ordering. So I've got something. So something happened about a year ago that really shook me to my core. I'm sorry, Tess. It wasn't you who did this. I'm sorry if you've done this in your life, but I don't think you do this at all. So we ordered. So we were like out, and it was like a tapas place, and we like ordered some stuff. We ordered loads of different bowls, having a great time, having drinks, and then the waitress came over to get the stuff, and my friend was like, "Oh yeah, like I kind of feel uncomfortable if I haven't eaten something." The way it's like, oh, did you not like that? I find that quite difficult because it's like, well, I don't really want to make you feel bad, but obviously I didn't like it. That's why I didn't eat it. But she actually didn't say anything. And my friend went, yeah, those are really oily and badly cooked. And then just continued talking. And I actually wanted to, like, my asshole went inside. I actually, at that point, I had like inception asshole. I found it so difficult to focus on the rest of the evening. How do you deal with it if you don't like a meal or if you don't like an element of it? Do you sort of, are you very vocal about that?
It really depends. Probably not at that stage. If they were taking the plates away and stuff, I wouldn't bother saying anything. I think it's fairly obvious, yeah, if you've left it that you didn't like it. But maybe if it came and it was so obvious there was something wrong with it. I tell you what I do. If I've ordered a steak and it's not clearly not cooked the way that I've asked for, I will say, I'm really sorry, this is a bit overcooked for me, or I'm really sorry, this is a bit rare, or whatever. I don't know. I don't think I'd go, this is really oily and badly cooked, especially if it was amongst other dishes.
If something like that does come out and you're like, oh, I always kind of try and say, because I, as a waitress, when I was like serving people, and they'd go, this pigeon still has its head on or something. I'd be like, okay, but it would feel very like they were shouting at me. I have not cooked it. So I very much complained about it. Could you tell the chef that this is a little bit... And I think the could you tell the chef is sometimes quite a nice thing to say, because it shows that you're aware that the waitress didn't just go and cook that pigeon with its head on. An excellent example from me. Tessa, how do you feel?
I would never... it would have to be like bits of broken glass in a meal before I said it was bad. I've eaten a roast once in tears. I wouldn't have sent it back or complained or said anything, because I think it is that of like the waitress hasn't made it, and then it's that horrible thing of like, you know that there's no, the chain of command here is like, you didn't fuck this up, you haven't brought this bad oily dish, like you did a fantastic job, you delivered it to the table as you were supposed to. I remember once I served a man a lasagna, which he ate the whole thing out of this, and then he gave me back a completely empty plate, and then he said that was absolutely disgusting. I was like, right, well, it feels late in the game for you to relay that to me. I remember just looking at his empty plate being like, what do you want me to do now? You can't just claim it was bad at the end and then be like, I'm not paying for that. I'm like, do you want a different lasagna? You've eaten, I mean, it feels like you're full, mate. Like, so I wouldn't ever send something back, and because, yeah, and I would never be rude to the, and people being rude to wait staff or people being dismissive or mean in any way or makes my stomach turn over, yeah. And I think makes you really judge a person if they're rude, and you know, if they're rude,
yeah,
like that.
There's so many different ways to be rude. The thing that I found the most frustrating, oddly, which I wouldn't have thought I did, was when people were overly congratulatory to me for doing anything. So I would like bring water and they'd be like, well done. I'd be like, okay, like I would find that so, like, I remember someone asked me about the desserts, and I just told them what the desserts were, because there were four desserts and that was the restaurant I worked in. And they were like, go you! And I was like, I don't know, it's for some reason that you feel like then you feel really small, and I don't know why.
How do you feel about this? Is this rude or is this just insane, right? And this is something I see my dad do on more than one occasion, and... I'm getting to the stage of life where now I think I understand it a little bit more. And also I'm having that feeling in restaurants sometimes. And I want to not say anything, but I feel like it's bubbling up. And by the time I hit 40, it's just going to start coming out. So it's when you're in a slightly nicer place, maybe, and you've ordered a bottle of wine, and they've made it very clear that part of their job as waiting staff is to come over and top your wine up. So they might even put the bottle of wine somewhere else. Right. And it's not people watching might think that this is going like my dad's going to be like, please bring the wine. Why aren't you bringing the wine? It's if they're doing too much. So like he'll come, like the waiter will come over or whatever and pour a bit of glass of wine or top up the water or come and just rearrange the cutlery or just do something. My dad will, and very politely, but this is such a weird thing to hear, go, can you actually not come over so much? You're actually doing too much waiting right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such a weird thing to care about, but it's just like, please, in a way, just don't do your job for a little bit.
Yeah,
it feels so bad to say that because it's like a lovely restaurant and they're doing so much business, but it's too much business.
Yeah,
the thing of like that sort of silver service level of like attention and thing, when it misses its mark, it's so much more obvious than just like cheap and cheerful basic service. Like when I was for my 21st birthday, me and my mum went to the Manoir, which is that Raymond Blanc. It's really, but it's like really nice and it's famous for its service that they don't. Somebody takes your order and someone different brings the meal and they just, no one says like, who ordered the fish? They just place it straight away in front of you because on their little list in the kitchen, they wrote like man in yellow Rupert Bear shirt, lady with ponytail, you know, they wrote a little note about you. So you...
Oh no, that's my nightmare. The note is the nightmare.
I know.
Can I tell you how they do it? They don't do that. They just have a line for the table and then they write the order.
Our waitress said they wrote Rupert Bear shirt.
Because
I remember her.
Your mum was wearing a red shirt. I'm so sorry.
No, I remember her pointing because it's only me and my mum, so it wasn't tricky. They were just being like younger, older, but like she pointed at a table of maybe 20 women from the WI who all looked like absolutely identical, and she was like, "That's a nightmare," being like, "They all look the same." But that experience, like, you know, your water glass, you wouldn't even know they were there, and suddenly your water glass was full, and as though everything was like by magic. And so when it's like, when it is, but like the level of skill that it takes to be at that level is so high, and so much training, and so much like, you know, just, oh, a napkin, oh sir, oh, a wonderful choice, you know, we ordered the tap water and they said a fantastic decision, ladies, and we're like, oh, thank you so much. And so therefore when that sort of, it aims at silver service like the wine that's somewhere else, and then they sort of come around with the hand behind the back in this very sort of pretentious way that you're like, this is, we're all very aware of this now, and rather than it being an aid to our meal, it's actually becoming quite a hindrance. Yeah. So I can absolutely understand where your dad is coming from.
Isn't it like a really good way to, at those, at that level, you shouldn't really even know that they're there. Like they should be like, you should be like, I've just been drinking this one glass of wine all night and I'm absolutely hammered.
That's it, isn't it?
Of being like, I've only had one.
I think we've hit upon the nucleus of excellent service.
Just getting you secretly
had one glass
pissed.
Of wine.
Yeah.
Secret sneaky piss, being like, what a lovely time I've had.
I find napkin stuff quite awkward as well, like if they're in a posh place and you sit down and then they pop, just, it's very, I find it passive aggressive. You sit down and they're like, just cover up your dick, you pig, like that, just attitude of,
that's what they mean
happen.
As well,
yeah,
that's what they mean, you're gonna spill that all over your penis, that's what they mean,
cover up your dick, you pig.
Going to the end of the podcast, before we go, I feel like we should say percentage tipping, how much is correct. I'd say if you have coppers, don't bother,
loads and in cash, because so often the credit card tips are split to the business, but so I do cash whenever I can.
Cash, pop it in your bra or your boxes, and then you can just...
Well, I saw somebody once, and I've tried to do this my entire life. I mean, now's the time to learn how to do it. Somebody tipped me once their money in an origami swan. Like, they'd made a £10 note into an origami swan and left it on the table for me.
It just feels like the start of a hustle. It just feels like you've been hustled again.
It feels like a Starbucks. It really
they
does.
They got me again. But yeah, maybe I should learn to do it so I can tip in swans again.
Yeah, I think people love... To be honest, I would love a swan. That's a very nice thing to do. So 10% is apparently the average where people tip. But I try and do 15, but it's quite hard to work out when you're drunk. But 15, 20? Do 20?
Well, quite often on the
I try and do
bill,
20
it's like lumped in, right? But then I never know if that's real or not. It just says 12.5%. But then, yeah, you try and tip like 15 to 20 in cash, but then who has cash now, you know?
That's very difficult.
The American system very much has this thing of like 20% is standard. And then when you either on your bill or the cash machine or whatever, when you have the machine to do it, it'll say like 20%. It'll be like, or lower, you disgusting peasant. Like, yes. Are you actively want to make me make sure? Okay. So like, it's a very passive aggressive.
But that's,
like,
that's because the wages are so low, right? So they're making all their money off tips. Yes, so absolutely. When I'm in America, I tip massive because in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, I'm feeding your child right now. Please take everything I have.
Yeah.
We have come to the end. We have to stop. Thank you so much, Ed, for...
I wish we could go out for dinner now, guys.
Yeah,
I know.
I could show you what I've learned.
So hungry.
I'm so hungry. And I also want to show you how good I am at just pointing at something now and ordering it.
Grabbing a good table, but in like a nice way. Awesome. Thank you so much. You can find us at Nobody Panic Pod, but you probably know that. I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
I'm at Tessa Coates. The Gmail is nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. Ed, do you want to tell me where they can find you?
At Ed Gamble Comedy on Twitter and on Instagram.
Thank you so much, guys, and have a great week.
We'll
see you again.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.